We were 5 or 6 weeks in verses 1 to 12 of this chapter, studying what God says about the person and the character of the fool. Now, these three verses deal with a different character, the slothful. The slothful man, woman, boy, or girl is, as they would say in Ballymena, he's some by, isn't he? The slothful some by. Sometimes this character in Proverbs is called the sluggard. It's the same person. The word sluggard means like a slug, slug-like, slow, lazy, devours anything it encounters, and leaves behind a trail of slime. So the sluggard, slow and lazy, devours time, leaving behind a trail of undone tasks. The slothful, like a sloth or a sloth. A sloth is a mammal that lives in jungles, and it hangs usually upside down from the branches of trees, and it moves so slowly that moss grows on the animal. That's how slow and sluggish it is. The Hebrew word used in verse 13 of chapter 26 for slothful means sluggish, lazy, sleepy, and slow. So that's the picture, isn't it? That the Lord in his inspired word is painting of this character. The type of person that we're studying this morning, called the slothful, means a real lazy bones. The slow, big, lazy lump who just can't be bothered. I'll do that sometime. I'll do that sometime. And as we go through Proverbs and see all these characters, we meet them in life, and indeed some of them are like us. And if I'm honest, the slothful, some of the tendencies would be me. Some of them, not all of them. So you have to fight against that. So you encounter other different characters and personalities, and some are like people you know, and some perhaps are even like ourselves. But the Proverbs does say an awful lot about this type of person, the slothful or the sluggard. And some of what the proverb says about this type of person is absolutely hilarious and very insulting. See, the Bible doesn't believe, the Bible's not politically correct. It just says things the way they are. There's no such thing as political correctness with God. God calls us what we are. Now, there are 3 points I want to give you this morning from verses 13 to 15 about this slothful man or woman or boy or girl, and it's a picture in words that we can understand. There are 3 things. Number one, the slothful man or woman hates work and imagines danger. That's verse 13. Secondly, the slothful person loves their ease. That's verse 14. And thirdly, the slothful person won't even look after themselves. Verse 15. So let's start with the first one then. The slothful person hates work. See, and imagines danger outside. That's their excuse to avoid work. Verse 13 says, the slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. There's a lion in the streets. You can add to that the Proverbs 22:13. It's the same thing. The slothful man saith, there's a lion outside. I'll die if I go out. I'll be slain if I go out. we'll have to self-isolate and stay at home. See? Because outside there's danger. What do the words mean? Well, the Hebrew word for slothful means lazy, sluggard. The slothful saith. Now, that's a verb in the Hebrew language, and it's a perfect tense verb, which means it's a completed action. The slothful man or woman has decided once and for all, and that's it, finished. They've decided permanently. There's a lion. And the word means a lion. In the way or in the streets. The road, the way, the journey, the place, the plaza, or the promenade, the public place, anywhere outside home. And when you put those words together, the slothful person says, I'm not going out. I'm not going out to work. I'm not going out into the way and into the streets. As Matthew Henry says, the place where work is wont to be done, a journey or a journey is to be done. I'm not going out of my house. Why not? The slothful person says, because there's a lion in the streets. And if I go out, the lion might slay me. I might die. In other words, I'm not going out because there's a great and terrible danger outside my house. The king of beasts, the greatest of hunters, the deadliest hunter, a lion, a male lion. There is unreasonable danger outside. That's what this says. It's the sluggard's excuse, the slothful man or woman. So we see two things about in this verse about the slothful person. They hate work. They don't want to go out. And they make the most ridiculous excuses as to why they haven't went out. One Puritan says, the sluggard fancies, or rather pretends, a lion is in the streets, whereas the lion is only in his own fancy, end of quote, his own imagination. Unless, of course, you're Samson, who met a lion. But how many people meet a lion in the streets? You see? So here we have a person who so hates going out and hates work that they make the most preposterous excuses to cover their own laziness. Let me ask you something. Some of you have lived a long time, haven't you? I'm going to be 52 on the 8th of July. 52. Some of you have lived less than that. Some of you have lived more than that. In all your years, have you ever seen a lion in the street? No. I have never met a person that has ever seen a lion in the street. Never. Most of the time, you see, it's a pathetic excuse. And even in countries where there are, it is possible to meet a lion in the street, like Samson obviously did. Was he meant to stay at home and hide? No. You're meant to go out and do your work anyway. It's like saying, I'm not going out to go shopping today in case I get eaten by a grizzly bear. It's preposterous. No one would take a person like that seriously. Sure they wouldn't, as that's really the reason why they're not going out to Tesco or Asda, in case they get eaten by a bear. No, they're lazy. They hate going out. They're making excuses, pathetic, unlikely excuses of an imaginary danger that lurks outside home. Now, I'm going to apply this at the end. You see where it's going, don't you? The application. And I'll prove it at the end. Don't go out, stay at home. Don't meet, don't sing, don't shake hands. Do this, that, and the other. I'll prove it with facts. That it's an imaginary danger compared with all the other things we do every day. The slothful hates work. Any application? He hates going out. He imagines danger. There's a lot of slothful people in the Western world, isn't there? I can't work. Why not? And out they come with the most preposterous excuses. The pretend injury. The pretend illness. The pretend danger. The pretend reasons. Look, I can't go to church. No. I'm not going to sing and praise God. No. I might get COVID. 99.7% recovery rate. That's not lazy disease. That's rebelliousness against God disease. That's what that is. The slothful hates work, makes preposterous excuses, and imaginary danger lurks outside his home. Secondly, the slothful loves his ease. This is a great one, isn't it? The next verse, the Bible just goes through, next verse, verse 14. As the door turns upon his hinges, so does the slothful upon his bed. What do the words mean? The word door means door, and the word turns means changes direction. And this is a different Hebrew verb. This is an imperfect Hebrew verb, not a perfect, an imperfect Hebrew verb. So the action is not completed. It happens over and over and over again. The door does that, doesn't it? It goes back and forward and back and forward and opens and closes and on the same old hinge. So does the slothful man upon his bed. Goes back and forward and back and forward and back and forward, but somehow remains in mostly the same place. How does the door move on its hinges? Well, the door opens and then it closes, or it's left open and it's back and forward and it hangs there and it stays there and it just gives the odd squeak when it wants some oil. So the Bible uses that as an illustration, or God uses that as an illustration of a lazy person, a slothful person who hangs on their bed and stays there and rolls back and forth and somehow manages to remain much in the same orbit and gives the odd little squeak when they want something. Just as the door moves only within the orbit of the space that it occupies, says one commentator, so the slothful moves within the orbit of the space that they occupy. The door moves but generally remains in the same place. It's a very simple picture, isn't it? The slothful loves his ease. He loves to stay in bed. He loves bed. He loves lying around the couch or at home, and he doesn't really want to move too far from there. I have personally known people, you probably do as well, who don't get out of bed for days. Really? Days. You know what happens, actually, to most of them? We all know what happens. After a few days in bed without getting up, they get all down and depressed. Because God never made us to live that way. It's a form of self-harm. Pure, ungrateful laziness is condemned in the Bible as sin. Sin. As the door goes back and forth and doesn't put itself out of its own way, so the slothful goes back and forth and won't put himself out of his own way. Church life is a spectator sport for the slothful. It's just something they sort of watch from a distance. Someone else can help on the work day, someone else can do the cleaning, and someone else can give people lifts. Just the slothful likes to move within their own orbit. They love their ease. They don't want to put themselves out. So the slothful hates work and imagines danger outside. He also loves his ease, the Bible says. And thirdly, the slothful won't look after himself. That's the next verse. Verse 15 says, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him
to bring it again to his mouth.
Imagine that. This is a really grotesque illustration, isn't it? The slothful, who hate work and make excuses as to why they're not going out, are so lazy sometimes that they won't even look after themselves. They depend on others to look after them. The Hebrew word hideth means he conceals it. He buries his hand in his bosom or under his cloak. And it grieves him. It wearies him. It makes him groan. The Hebrew word actually means he becomes offended if he has to bring his own hand up to feed himself. It's a grotesque picture going way beyond the normal of someone so lazy that they actually need to be fed like a baby. Because they couldn't be bothered to lift the food from the bowl to their own mouth. Imagine the laziness, the picture. They wouldn't even feed themselves. That's what the verse is saying. Now, to eat food is what? It's a basic necessity of life. That's the principle, isn't it? It's a basic necessity for life. So the principle taught is this: there are some people so lazy that they want others to lift and lay them. The sluggard won't even bother to look after themselves. So lazy. Do you know people? I do, personally, in past years, who don't even bother to make themselves a meal. I'm going to illustrate this is exactly what this verse is saying. Out of pure, I've written here, pure animal laziness, but that's an insult to animals, actually. I know new people who couldn't even be bothered to look after themselves. I know a particular woman who, after her husband died, and I'm not talking about next month or a few months, I mean years after her husband passed away, she couldn't be bothered to make herself a meal. No point. And I knew her for about 9 years. And for breakfast, you know what she had? A jam sandwich and a cup of tea. And for lunch, you know what you had? A jam sandwich and a cup of tea. And for dinner, do you know what you had? A jam sandwich and a cup of tea. And for supper, what did she have to eat? A jam sandwich and a cup of tea. And after 9 years of that, she got severe stomach pain and the ambulance was called, and I knew the ambulance man, both of them actually, both Christians in my home church. And they took her to the hospital and they examined her stomach and she couldn't hold down anything. She had destroyed her own stomach by her diet and she died. Why? This is true. She ruined her own stomach through her own laziness and destroyed her own body through laziness. And I know many people that are doing the same thing. Not jam, but, you know, similar thing. Not looking after yourself because you're lazy. You couldn't be bothered. Let me tell you something, Christians. God didn't make you to live on jam sandwiches and tea. God made all the plants and all the fruit and all the vegetables and even put meat on the menu after the flood. Because we as human beings need vitamins and minerals and all those things to look after our bodies. The Christian's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you destroy the temple, God says, I'll destroy you. don't abuse your body. Don't deny your body through laziness by not looking after yourself. It says many things like that in 1 Corinthians 6. Let me just read a few verses. 1 Corinthians 6, 12, 13, 19, and 20. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All things in moderation. Meat for the belly and the belly for meat, but God shall destroy both, it and them. Your body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. He's doing a comparison there. Your body is made for food. It's a natural thing. Fornication is not natural. It's a sin. So it's the comparison. Go on down to 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are to glorify God, not through laziness, but to glorify God in our spirit and in our body by looking after ourselves, by not being so lazy as we destroy our own selves. And there's other ways that people don't look after themselves. The sluggard, it grieves him to bring the food to his mouth. It grieves him to have to look after himself, even in the necessary things. There's other ways that people don't look after themselves. Many people milk the benefit system because they won't look after themselves. They let everyone else look after them. There are many. I'm not talking about people that are on benefits. I'm on income, family income tax credit. And many people need the thing. I'm talking about the people that shouldn't be getting it and milk the system. There are many slackers and parasites on the working man's back in the Western world. There was people like that in the New Testament as well. They were lazy. They wouldn't work. They wanted handouts from the church in the New Testament. The Bible doesn't say prop them up. Never. But it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, very interesting passage. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition you've received of us. Now, what's the disorderly walk? It tells us a few verses down. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Not because the preacher wasn't worthy of his hire, but they decided that they would work to not be a burden to anyone. For, he goes on to say, even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any, and note this word, this is very important, if any would not work, doesn't say cannot work, that's totally different. If any would not work, willfully decided they weren't going to, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. This is the disorderly. Working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are of such, we command and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Some people are so lazy, not that they can't work. Anyone who cannot work, we are to help them. That's the biblical principle. We are to look after them. But those that would not,
They just didn't want to because they're out of laziness. They're not to eat. That's what the Bible says. Would not. So the Bible teaches, don't prop up sluggards. Now let me conclude, and then I'm going to apply. The slothful man or woman. Three things. They hate work and they hide from imagined danger. Secondly, they love their ease. And thirdly, they won't look after themselves. Now, how many in the Western world hate work and don't want to go out because of imminent danger and love to take their ease and won't look after themselves? The pastor in the church that I go to in Tandragee has told me that, you know, many ministers and pastors over the whole lockdown period are loving it. He said this, they're absolutely loving it because they can get to stay at home and lie in and just do the odd wee meeting on Zoom, and it's like a year paid holiday. That's what he told me. That's a wee bit like the sluggard, isn't it? Many people in our society won't look after themselves. They need to be fed by others. Just look at the benefit scandal a number of years ago in West Belfast. Sluggards. But it's not just West Belfast. Sure, it's not. No. There's a cul-de-sac in Newton Abbey I could take you to. And it's a big, long cul-de-sac that turns right at the end. And in that cul-de-sac, there's probably between 40 and 60 houses. And you know what it's called in the area? It's a wee nickname, DLA cul-de-sac. Because in that cul-de-sac, every single house has a DLA car. Every one. Now, I was told this by a person I visited, a member I visited in the past church there. He lived there. And out of the 40 to 60 houses, each of which has a DLA car, two of the houses actually needed a DLA car. And the rest didn't. The rest were drug dealers, partying teenagers, and ex-terrorists, and so on. Milking the system like the leeches they are, because they are right here in Proverbs, the slothful and the sluggard, that won't look after themselves but become parasites on the back of others. In the year 2015, the United Kingdom paid out £170 billion in benefits. They employ 138,000 people just to look after the benefit system. And yes, I'm not against it, as I've already said. Many people, and it's good that there are benefits for people that need them, but many play the system. And it's the same as stealing. The lazy, sloth-like abuse the system. Brethren, work. In work's place, ease in the place of ease, and look after yourself. Now, I want to finish by giving a little bit of poignant application, emphasizing especially verses 13 in both chapter 26 of Proverbs and chapter 22. Verse 13 of chapter 26 says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way and a lion in the streets." And verse 13 of chapter 22 says, "The slothful man says, there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets." There's a lion outside my home. The imagined excuse for not going out. I'm going to hide away at home and prolong my life, because outside there's unreasonable danger. Unreasonable danger, eh? And over the last year and a half now, many, many professed Christians have not darkened the door of their church. And many, many professed Christians have never went to a prayer meeting in the last 16 to 18 months. Or they haven't sung praise to God or observed the commanded ordinances or had fellowship with other believers. And more than that, many professed Christians have treated other people like lepers. Put your mask on, stay away from me, keep your distance, don't shake my hand, don't come near. Which is a blatant breach of Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, where in God's law he lays out how we deal with infectious diseases. After up to a month long certain diagnosis, after the person is diagnosed to have the infectious disease, then and only then they have to self-isolate and cover their upper lip, wear a mask, and stay away from others, unclean, unclean, and warn others. But to make healthy people do that is a blatant reversal of God's commands in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. Many have treated others like lepers in breach of God's law. And why? Because they fear the imaginary, and I use that word on purpose, not that there's no such thing, but it's largely the imaginary danger of COVID. So let me get this. Many so-called Christians who are meant to trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not on their own understanding, they think, so by disobeying God's commands, you're going to prolong your life. Something wrong with that reasoning, isn't it? Who concludes, who decides the day that you and I will die? God. So you're going to sin against God with the hope of prolonging your life and hope you'll live longer. That's nuts. You mustn't believe in God at all. Anyone who reasons that way. I thought the point of saving faith was that we do not fear death. We've got the answer. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? But I have lots of unsaved people in the world, Roman Catholics, all saying to me, you Christians are far more afraid than us. COVID. Let's hide in our homes because there's a great lion in the streets. I'm telling you this. This is an imaginary danger. Here's the proof. If you take the official statistics for the worldwide death toll of COVID, and I don't take them at all, but I'm just going to quote them because they're grossly exaggerated, as has been proven. The disease has a 99.7% recovery rate. And basically, out of the world's population, that means that one person out of every 22,000 people die of COVID. One in 22,000, right? So that's the danger. One, that's the fact, one in 22,000. What about cancer? One in seven die of cancer. But for months and months and months, we stopped the treatment of cancer. Not one in 22,000, one in seven. One in four human beings die of heart disease. I know one or two people that had to wait and wait and wait to get their heart bypassed because they weren't doing them anymore. Some people have died because they didn't get it. That's the danger of heart disease. 1 in 4, not 1 in 22,000. Do you know that worldwide, one person in every 240 will die in a car accident? You know what that means? Say if you're afraid of going out because of COVID, you'll never get in a car again. Because every time you get in your car, getting in your car is 91 times more dangerous than COVID. You have 91 times more chance of dying in your car than you have of COVID. That's a fact. It's funny how all these frightened people still get in their car to go to the supermarket, isn't it? When they say they're afraid of COVID. You're at 91 times more risk of death driving in your car. That's a fact. It's imaginary, the danger. It's been vastly bloated by the false media and our stupid politicians. What about eating food? We're going home to get our dinner. Do you know that one person in every 2,669 die from choking on their food? That's a fact. These are facts. So if you go home and have your dinner, you're eight times more likely to die from eating your dinner than you are of COVID. Eating is 8 times more dangerous than COVID. The lion is imaginary. It's imaginary. The risk is so small and pitiful. And yet we close churches. We don't do this. We don't do that. Let's cancel food. Let's cancel cars. It'll save far more lives. What about staying at home? That's the most risky of all. One person in every 114 die from falling in their house. So if you're going to self-isolate and stay at home, whatever you do, just stay on the couch and don't walk around. Because see, if you walk around your house, it's 192 times more dangerous than COVID. And that's a fact. To stay at home, you're 192 times more likely to die than you are of dying from COVID. The big lion is false, isn't it? There's a lion in the streets. It's absolutely imaginary. When you look at actual facts and statistics, there's nothing to be afraid of. A lion in the streets. An imminent danger. How many people, I couldn't get the statistic for the UK because the UK has sort of muddled and taken down a load of the stuff that's on the internet because they don't want you to see the truth. Because they're a bit like communists, really. But in America, they say that 550,000 people died of COVID. That's just over 500,000. Now, I don't accept that that was COVID. When you get doctors being paid $100 for each person they write COVID on their death certificate, of course it's going to lead to corruption. And then their test, of course, which is so inaccurate and was never designed, they even test for COVID, flu, cold, anything that shows up as positive for COVID. But allowing that their statistics are right. In America, just over 500,000 supposedly died from COVID. Yet every year in America, 4.5 million people get bitten by dogs. And that's not counting the snakes and the poisonous spiders and everything else. So if you live in America, you're 8 times more likely to get bitten by a dog this year and savaged by it than you are of dying by COVID. The danger. It's not quite a lion, but we're almost there. The danger is imagined, yet our freedoms are being taken away. Vaccine passports and all the whole load, yeah. Yet the UK Telegraph published 3 days ago on the 20th of May. It published the statistics of monthly deaths in the United Kingdom. They publish it every month. All deaths, not just COVID, all deaths. And it says this, I quote, "The proportion of people dying," sorry, not UK, in England, "the proportion of people dying in England fell in April this year to its lowest level since records began." End of quote. Let me get this right. In the middle of a dangerous pandemic, the death rate is at the lowest level since records began. Dream on. There is no pandemic. It's a load of nonsense. It's grossly exaggerated. King's College, with their exaggerated statistics, came out with this quote last week. COVID cases are now flat. Who admit it? Is that in the BBC? Do you hear Boris and that other Hancock spouting about that? No. Because they want to keep everyone in their brainwashed condition. Not going to church, not going to meet with your family is like saying, "There's a lion in the streets. I'm not going out or I'll get killed by a lion." That's what it's like saying. No, no, no. You and I, and with this a close, you and I will all die on the exact day, on the exact hour, at the exact minute and second that God has decided. And staying at home won't save you. And wearing a mask won't save you. And getting the vaccine won't save you. By the way, the NHS statistic for the vaccine's out. It's not on the news, but 1 million serious side effects so far. 1 million. Just in the UK. Not save you. Only Jesus will save you. And you know who he saves? Those who are present tense, trusting in him, turning from their sin and trusting in him, and their life is in his hand, in God's hand. And when you're in Christ, you are immortal until your time on earth is up. And that's the message of Christianity that the churches have been hiding for the last year and a half while they hide like scared children. Trust in the Lord. Do you really trust in him? Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Don't make pathetic excuses or imagined danger. Trust in the Lord. God bless you and thank you for your attention this morning.